Welcome, everybody. This is Chuck Bonner and Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, Two Straight Up. It's going to be a real great Friday. We've got a packed show. We've got Patrick Neville. We've got Ted Trimp of the Sword of Soros to give us the Democratic viewpoint. And we've got a real new hero. It's El Paso County grassroots person, Vicky Tompkins, who's fighting the war against some really awful people. Establishment people down in El Paso County, and she's doing a great job.
That's right. You know, the show today brought to you by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice, one of the sites I check every day. And in fact, let's bring Patrick Neville, the state minority leader for the Weekly Minority Report. Wanted to ask him about this. One of the big columns, Patrick, that they have in ColoradoCitizenPress.com is talking about a protest plan for 1 o'clock Sunday here in Colorado, kind of like they've done in other states where everybody social distances, everybody follows the common sense regulations, but they're saying, hey, time to get the Colorado economy up and running. Welcome to the show, and what do you think about all of that?
Well, I think the sooner we reopen, the better. I mean, look, I mean, the people can't get to their doctor's appointments. They're like regular scheduled doctor visits to make sure that they're just healthy. People who have actually, I know people who've had cancer screenings.
Right.
Be canceled.
Right.
I mean, if we don't at least open up that, I mean, I hope that today at 4 o'clock, Polis is going to announce that he's going to at least open up that. Dentist appointments and things like that.
Well, I can speak to that when I might have lost a tooth, as you do, you know, and I don't want to smile because he'd get a gap there. And I called my dentist. They say, I can't do it. You know, they'd Kyle Clark would come by our offices and trash us or something. So.
Well, you know, let me, speaking of,
I might know a thing or two about that, Chuck.
Yeah.
So do I,
tell you the truth.
Speaking of being trashed. Yeah. So all you guys did is write a letter to the governor saying, hey, you know, call us crazy, but we are elected officials. Maybe we could have a conversation before we destroy the economy and people's lives and futures. And you're getting trashed by that. By the way, people are still getting paid, the elite, so
right,
to speak. So
right.
What do you want to say about all of that, too?
Yeah, I mean, and of course, Kyle Clark even trashed us from the very beginning. He made this silly little analogy of if there's a forest fire and the fire department knocks on your door and tells you to evacuate, you're not going to question them. And he said, that's what they're doing. They're telling, when we first signed off on that letter to Tri-County Health saying they shouldn't be making this decision unilaterally. The fact of the matter is he got his facts wrong then too, because guess what? If there is a forest fire and there's an emergency evacuation, guess who issues the order? Your elected sheriff.
Yeah.
Now the fire department might actually help institute that, so he got that one wrong.
Right.
And then this past week he got it even more wrong when Polis tears up during his press conference. Kyle Clark jumps on that immediately.
Well, that was disgusting. The schmaltzy. That was the most
schmaltzy. Yeah, like Jared Polis accidentally.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, he called, as I remember, Jan Brewer, the governor of Arizona, Nazi. So it's okay for him, but if you make a vague reference to Gestapo tactics, he breaks down in tears. I mean, give me a break.
Well, and here's the thing, Patrick.
Well, and here's the part that's even worse, though.
Okay.
So when I was making that comment on the Peter Boyle show, it was prior to Polis even issuing an order. It was in reference to Tri-County Health.
Right.
That Kyle Clark infers that I called the governor a Nazi. I never have. And then when you asked the person who actually asked the question, Charles Ashby, retweeted it. And said, I was actually referring to people in my area who've made this on our county's, Mesa County's public health Facebook page. So he wasn't even referring to me. Who knows if Polis was referring to me, but oh, Kyle Clark, he saw this great opportunity to trash Patrick Neville. He probably gave Ian Silveria a call beforehand saying, hey.
Oh, sure, absolutely. And his wife, the heroin queen.
Well, yeah. You know, and here's the thing. There was a great quote. Denver Business Journal interviewed some restaurant owners, right? And there was a great quote by the lady who owns sort of a chain of Maria Empanadas. And she said, you know, they keep telling us we're all in the same boat. And she says, we're not all in the same boat. She said, we're in the same storm, but some people have luxury boats.
Right.
And some of us are bailing out our canoes that are sinking. And I thought, that's a perfect way to put it. And so you got people who are criticizing you, who are criticizing us, who are criticizing the people that say, hey, let's get back to work. These are all government workers who have their pensions, people who are still getting paid, and their boat is a much nicer boat, right? If they were sharing the boat like some of the rest of us.
They don't even know what storm's out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they're like, it's
right. Well, that's what's so funny. I mean, the calls that Ian Silveri probably even released my cell phone. So I'm getting all these calls to my cell phone too, of just these nasty individuals screaming and cursing at me. And
I know those people. I got the same phone calls. I got the exact same phone calls. Do they threaten to blow you up and kill you and stuff? Because those are the ones I got.
Right. Yeah. So the same ones. And it's funny, but they're saying because my language was so out of line.
Like, oh, yeah.
Can we just take a step back here and get some perspective? Wait. You want my whole family to die, and that's okay?
Yeah.
Well, I know. And here's the thing. That's the ridiculousness of it. We have to isolate in place for coronavirus, right? So no one dies. But then they want to kill your family. So it's like, those people are crazy. So let me go back to the poll, though, at Colorado Citizen Press.
Well, here's one thing. One good sign that we may be starting to open up is they furloughed 473 people from the city of Boulder.
And Aurora. Denver's right.
Now, those people now have a different perspective on this whole thing. They're kind of, before they're going, oh no, we have to shelter at home. Yeah. Now they're going, what do you mean I'm furloughed? Furloughed? Whoa.
Right. Yeah, I know we're prepared to make sacrifices. I've even talked to like my budget my staff and said,
right.
Hey guys, you know, we're probably going to have to take some cuts ourselves just to do the right thing because of the state budgets is going to take a huge hit. I talked to the caucus and said, hey guys, I think because we automatically go up when the judges go up, that our pay does now, right? Since the bill was passed like 5 years ago, I think.
Oh, how cool.
But you know, I talked to them like, hey, prepare for that to go away, and I'm going to support that to go away too.
Right.
But yeah, we're not. Yeah. I think that analogy is correct. Some people are in these luxury boats. Others aren't.
Right. Right.
Like most people, are not like everywhere else. Most people don't have yachts.
For me to not get a haircut.
Yeah.
I mean, for me to not get a haircut is a minor inconvenience. Yes. And you guys know me. I like my haircut too. I like that skin tight mid fade that I had from the army. And when it starts getting long, I go crazy. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still a minor inconvenience for me. But for the lady who cuts my hair.
Right.
She's been out of a job for over a month now.
Right.
Right.
True. Although we are going to see you in a man
bun. Open, but she can't afford groceries.
Right.
That's not a minor inconvenience. That's
no, it's not at all. And let me ask you though, on a lighter note, are we going to be seeing you in a man bun?
No. My wife cut my hair for me. Right. You know, it's really kind of hard. You got to be really particular to do a zero. So she only did a one on the sides. Uh-huh. I usually get a zero on the sides, which is really tough. But she did a one, and I think she just got tired of me complaining about it so much. She finally just said, sit down, and I'm going to cut your hair.
There you go.
Well, let me ask you about another letter that we got a copy of from Jeff Hayes, our former GOP chair. And we spent two pages absolutely trashing Vicky Tompkins,
El Paso County
Republican chair. And saying how great Eli Bremmer was. And during the letter, he trashes your great supporter, Dave Williams, and his manager, and some other people. Jeff Hayes put a similar letter out attacking Susan Beckman when she noted that the election didn't seem exactly on the up and up. Where does Jeff Hayes get off, his former chair, slandering and libeling anybody and everybody he can?
If you look at what happened in SD10, that might be the most corrupt thing I've ever seen happen. I was kind of unaware of it. Looking as I was the prime sponsor of House Bill 1359, which authorized these emergency bylaw changes.
Right.
As we were going through that, we had a lot of talks with Chris Murray, the Republican Party attorney. He was saying, well, the Democrats, they kind of want this language in there, but we will never do that.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I was hoping, well, yeah, Democrats, they might do fraud and stuff in there. County assemblies, but Republicans by and large are good. The way that SD10 assembly was ran was absolutely awful. And this is no knock on Larry Liston or David Stiver. I've never even heard of David Stiver's name until this all came up. But the way Eli Bremmer ran that made me regret sponsoring.
Well, I'm glad to hear it because we had a little debate. We had a robust little debate on those emergency rules, as you can remember, about 3 weeks ago. Because I hadn't read the bill myself, but a lot of grassroots people are pointing out some really bad provisions, and they said the establishment will use these just to shove it down our throat. And they were right.
Well, although Randy prevailed, so the executive committee came to their senses and did the right thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
well,
so eventually the executive committee and the state central committee this morning voted to uphold that. I mean, it still probably wasn't the best result. Like, I think I would have rather just had a redo of the assembly, but we're too late statutorily to do that right now.
Right.
But I mean, seriously, this they said Joe Webb sitting in a room, opening up an email account and tallying votes is how we're going to run this assembly.
And if everybody doesn't know, Joe Webb is about as biased a guy as you get out there. He attacks every grassroots
friend
and their best friend.
Either way, though, when you don't have any ballot secrecy, that changes people's behavior.
Yeah, it does. Right.
So ballot secrecy is incredibly important. And when you don't have that, it's going straight to an email account of some guy who's not in the room. And so there's no teller committee. You know, when we do an assembly, look, typically you have a teller committee. I know my bylaws, the way we did ours, we had to make some changes, right, of course, but I did not change the date. You know, we had previous calls out there saying that my assembly was going to be on the 28th. I met with all the people in my House District 45 chairs, and we went over a plan, and we said, okay, we're still going to start at the same time that we would have started in the past. We will require some nomination forms because we chose mail over electronics, because mail, you can still separate that ballot completely and maintain ballot secrecy. And then look, I actually went out there and bought all the envelopes and all the stamps that we might possibly need with my own campaign money, which I know a lot of other reps were like, well, I don't want to spend my own campaign money if someone runs against me. But I was like, I feel it's more important to have election integrity
and
do the right thing. And so that's what we did. I mean, we didn't have to use it because no one announced against me. But I was like, look, I want to make sure that if someone does announce against me, that it's going to be a fair and thorough process. And that's why I think Eli Bremer really even hurt probably Larry Liston, because now Larry Liston's getting dragged into all this.
Yeah,
Larry's been part of this for a while. In all honesty, he was Bob Beaupré's candidate to go against Republican.
Don't interrupt me, because we got to move on. We got a packed show today. Chuck is used to a 3-hour show. We've got Ted Trimpa coming up at 3:15. Let me, Patrick, because we'll talk more about this at 3:45. I was going to say. Final thing, I want to go back to something you said at the beginning, where, you know, we know Polis, by the time the show is over, is when his news conference starts. Are you hearing anything, or are you optimistic? I know in Florida they're opening the beaches in Jacksonville. Texas is laying out a plan. Are you hopeful?
Those all Republican governors.
Well, right, but I mean, are you hearing anything, number one, or number two, or are you guessing anything in terms of opening Colorado back up?
I really have no idea. I think since like the last 3 weeks have been completely unpredictable on what he's going to do. We used to have heads up and talks about this, and he's totally shut me off from any sort of communication whatsoever. So I have no idea what's going to happen at 4:00.
What do you think about the protests then on Sunday? You know, this ColoradoCitizenPress.com is talking about those.
Yeah, it's rather interesting. I mean, I think people are just fed up. I mean, they're getting tired, and they're getting tired of these bureaucrats telling them, oh, you're not essential. And they're going, what is a human being? How can you call me not essential?
Right.
How can you call them what I do for a living is not essential?
Right.
So it's,
well, marijuana, we know marijuana sales are essential. So, you know, whatever you do, it's not that important.
You can look at the story about the guy that had a tobacco shop, a premium cigar shop, and he was forced to close. But then the store next to him, who's a liquor store and a marijuana store, they're open. And I mean, I'm not criticizing liquor stores and marijuana stores either. Like, whatever. I mean, consumers decide what's essential and what's not.
Yeah.
Right.
Instead, we should be giving guidelines on how to social distance. And if they can, you know, operate within those guidelines on how to social distance, let them.
Right.
Makes sense.
Why would we shut them down arbitrarily?
So what kind of, just a final question for you, at least for me, what kind of power do you guys have? Or as Karen Catlin, our friend Karen Catlin would say, the power is in the people. We already have it. It's like in The Wizard of Oz. We've had the power all along.
Well, you're like the French peasants in 1789. Yes, you have the power, but you better be willing to bring the pitch for
it. No, I think there's a lot of truth in what Karen said. You know, I think the power is with the people. When they start standing up and rising up, that's the only way we're going to make Polis and the other people realize what they're doing is hurting everyday Coloradans in a huge way. I mean, we push back all the time. I get nasty emails, you know, from the left, of course, that I'm going to kill everyone. And then I also get nasty emails from the right, like, you need to do more. You're not doing enough. I'm like, well, I don't know. I guess
what can you do now?
He's not taking letters. We've made my position very clear. I've made several media statements. So I, you know, it's one of those things too. Yeah, people do need to stand up, and I'm seeing that too. I'm seeing that.
Yes.
I know there's several businesses that are talking about opening up in defiance of these orders.
Yeah, right. There's a whole May Day revolt. They're saying they're opening up May 1st. Yeah,
I think you're right.
Great movement.
And I bet you Polis sees that. He's not dumb. So I bet you.
Right. No, he's not dumb. All right, Patrick.
He'll probably start loosening restrictions.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right, Patrick, great to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right,
thank you.
Okay, so we have just programming note. I want to remind folks, if you miss anything, you can catch all of the podcasts at chuckandjulie.com. I'm also go to the little YouTube icon up there, and you can catch the YouTube cast, and be sure to subscribe. We have Ted Trimpa coming on, and there's a bunch of people up on our screen, so I can't tell who's who necessarily. Ted, if you are there, go ahead and click your audio and your video camera on. People, if anybody wants to join us via Zoom, you can do that. All you have to do, we see him,
there
he
is.
I was guessing you were that. It had a different thing there. Ted Trimpa is a frequent guest. If people haven't listened to our show a lot, Ted is a Democrat strategist and a friend, which proves that we can all get along. We have more in common.
And French peasant.
And French peasant, and French pastry chef, from what I've been seeing as well. You got to follow Ted on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'll let him give you. It's at Ted Trimpa, T-R-I-M-P-A, because he's also doing quarantine cuisine.
So, well, that's fine. I got to do something.
That's right. It's good to see you. How are you guys? How are you guys doing?
Actually doing really well. I'm kind of surprised that this didn't turn out to be, I mean, this is awful.
Right.
We're not killing each other. We're not chasing each other around the house with knives and pitchforks.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, right. Getting along really well. It's but sitting here day after day.
Right.
You know, it gets a little old. You know, pop in the car, drive around, have to do something, see the world,
right.
See how many people aren't wearing masks, scaring myself, and then I go home.
You know, it's kind of funny. Our little boy, Rev, who's 9, we started out, we did family games. We set up little family golf courses, stuff like that, right? Now I'm like, Rev, do you want to do we played Uno, right? I'm like, do you want to do this? He goes, no, I'm on Fortnite. So it's like, he's like, so much for family time. He's over the family.
I just killed 5 people. I got to kill another 5. So, you know, get off of my back, Mom.
Hey, so why don't I jump in and talk to you?
Well, he, you know, in addition to his many other roles, he's an advisor to the governor. Governor Polis. So how do you rate how the governor's doing?
I think he's doing really well. I mean, this is a difficult time to be governor. I realize we're going to have different perspectives,
right.
Particularly the shelter in place, lockdown, whatever the heck you want to call it. But, you know, I would honestly would give him a 9. I mean, this hasn't been an easy thing to do politically, how to navigate that. And I think he's used well the metro mayors to allow some of them to take some of that initial political heat.
Yeah.
You know, I do think the press conferences are a little much for me. He doesn't, and now when he hears this, I'm going to hear about it, but he's not empathetic.
Yes.
You know, whether you like Andrew Cuomo or not, the one thing you can say about Andrew Cuomo in those press conferences, he's empathetic.
Yeah.
And he's explaining in a way, and he personalizes it. You know, and there's so many other governors, Jared included, you know, are at the podium telling you what's going on, kind of ordering you, you will do this, you will do that. And I think that when you do that, particularly what you're seeing with Gretchen Whitmer.
Right.
In Michigan, you get an extraordinary backlash. And people can only take this so long.
Well, Andrew Cuomo, I think, does a great job is he actually gives you true statistics. I mean, it's just, okay, we're up here in hospital, you know, we're down in hospitalizations, we're up in the death count. I mean, see, he provides you real information. If I had to give a critique to Jared Polis, is there's very little substance in his press conferences. Therefore, it's very hard for me to listen very long because he's an intelligent guy, he's an articulate guy, but he's providing very little real information, and therefore you just tune out after a while.
Well, and the Bible verses, that, you know, he went through that period where he was always quoting Bible verses.
That was a bit.
The press conference, you know, not a ding to religious people, you know, at all.
But a bad press conference.
It just didn't really work. It's, you know, it's like a 14-year-old in high school speech decided to write the speech.
Wait a minute. We asked Patrick Neville, you know, what's going to happen at his news conference. Another thing he could do is he could try to show up on time for some of his conferences. It's a little amazing that he never can make it on time.
He just follows in the footsteps of the president.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's a fair point. But do you have any pronostication of what he's going to do today? Is he going to open anything up, or is he just going to blabber on?
I don't know. Okay. I could see setting the stage for at some point we're going to open it up, but I don't think our numbers here are good enough now to be doing that. But I don't think he wants to be behind other Democratic governors.
Does he want to be ahead of other Democratic governors?
You want to be squarely in the, it's kind of like
middle of Democratic
yeah,
governors.
Yeah, you want to be squarely in the middle
of Democratic governors.
That's my advice to him.
Well, he could be a little on the forefront of Democratic
Yeah, my
governors.
Wish would be, but yeah.
Oh, well, I just haven't seen the numbers.
Well,
I don't trust the numbers anymore. I used to be following the numbers, and then they decided to do the Michigan-New York model, where everybody who died of a heart attack, if they had a temperature, was a corona. I mean, they're just additives throwing bodies on top of bodies. You cannot die in
it's
this
like
state.
It's like Monty Python. I'm not dead yet.
No, not dead yet. Oh, yeah, yeah. Count them up.
Yes, you are. No, I'm not dead yet.
Well, something
bring
else is
going
to
be dead. Bring
yeah, really,
out
exactly.
Dead.
Okay, something else that's fun that we want to talk to you about, although you may not think it's fun, is I love Joe Biden's whatever you call them. It's like his tongue. Your take on Joe Biden and
he's
how
fun. He's fun.
my take is first turtlenecks.
Get
some turtlenecks. I mean, because you can really see his age and his neck.
Right.
Yeah.
Hence mine. But he's in a difficult spot, you know, because he's not the president.
Because his brain is gone. Well, that is always a difficult deal.
Some strategy-wise. I think
that the video stuff that they've tried to do has been abominable.
Okay.
It's like, hello, there was a camera. We need to speak to the camera. And remembering what he needs to say. I mean, it's been a little bit disappointing.
Yeah.
But I do think the surrogates that he's had on TV have been done well. You know, Ron Klain has been pounding away for him,
right?
Which I think is helpful. But at some point, it has to be him.
Yeah.
And you know, I get troubled as a Democrat. People think, oh, this is all going to show that you know Trump is going to get beat because he's so mishandled all this. And you know, watching it, you take off the filter of being, you know, a partisan and always looking at it in a progressive way. If I were out in Middle America and seeing what's going on and saying, I really want to open up the economy. You know, I question people. I'm the guy who makes the decision in the end, putting aside the whole, I will open up the states or want to open up the states.
Right.
That's going to get some traction. And anyone who thinks that this is the beginning of the end of President Trump, I think is sorely mistaken.
On the other hand, well, that's good to hear because that's what we think too. But there is still a lot of time between now and November. Let me just ask, just curious, just from a strategic point of view, if you're running the Biden campaign, I mean, this is kind of unprecedented. I mean, you don't want to disappear. On the other hand, he's not the president. That combined with the fact that he's not the world's greatest, you know, guy speaking from his basement anyway.
Do you think they should just keep him in the basement?
Yeah, no kidding.
Just not let him out of there.
How do you do a campaign?
Can he climb the stairs?
Yeah, that's right.
In terms of what to do with the campaign? Well, I think that I actually think they need to be a little bit more proactive. I don't think it's going to be seen as being, you know, politicized, but I would do it in a way where I'm in communication with the president. I want to be helpful to what the president's been doing. We may have some disagreements about some of this and not approach it the way Schumer's been approaching it. Definitely not the way Pelosi has been approaching it.
Yeah.
You know, cause there seems to be this competition for TV time.
Yeah.
Right. And so since the president has been using, you know, these press conferences, you know, to tout himself, but that's just who he is. All of a sudden, there's this feeling on the Democratic side, ooh, we need to be doing more, too.
Right.
And they're just not attuned. I mean, you know, Pelosi is a great, from my perspective, a great tactician and a great speaker. She's not the best on TV.
No.
And, you know, and Schumer, it's like, you know, learn how to put on a mask.
Yeah, but he's got his mask on.
And work the glass out of his nose. It's like, yeah. Go ahead and sneeze and get us all set.
Well, and Nancy Pelosi, I also think it was kind of, her timing was bad. So while they're holding up the stimulus bill, you know, the headlines of the conservative media are like, Democrats, you know, they've run out of money. There's more there, but Democrats won't let us have it. And then she's giving people a tour of her kitchen with the ice cream and chocolates, right? And it's, I mean, she's, not all of us have that same kind of refrigerator.
Well, what did you think about the president bringing up one of my favorite subjects, which is the Democrats trying to rig elections with mail-in ballots and ballot harvesting?
Here you go with your harvest.
Yeah.
You know, I guess there are seasons for you, Chuck, in terms of we're going to bring out the ballot combines.
Yeah. Well, that's what you have. That's what the SEIU, Planned Parenthood.
So we can carry all those fake ballots.
Yeah. You don't need fake ballots. You just need to keep on going to Alzheimer wards like you did and picking up all and telling all the people how to vote and then taking them out of there. But I think at least the president realizes that if the Democrats get mail-in ballot advantage. They destroyed – Colorado no longer has a democracy. It's really a 50-50 state, but it's like Mississippi in 1920.
Well, I have to tell you, though, the mail-in ballot, particularly those first couple of years, benefited Republicans more than Democrats.
Because you didn't have ballot harvesting. The ballot harvesting.
Because we couldn't afford the combines by then.
Yeah, before you got the combine machines known as Planned Parenthood and the teachers' unions and everything else. I mean,
this is good for people to be able to see you. When you're in studio and you roll your eyes when Chuck talks, it's kind of, what about
See, now I'll get closer so you can just show you that I'm rolling my eyes.
I think that's where the Democrats are going to pivot. I think they're going to realize you have to open up the economy. We can't keep saying the economy has to be closed until we have a cure for coronavirus.
Cure for death. Until we have a cure for death, we'll keep the economy closed.
But I think that's going to be, I mean, what are, and I know you're one of the persons in there involved in that. Is that
rigging everything?
Yeah. But is there a push? And are we going to see a bigger push, do you think, particularly from the Democrats for all
I think it's going to be a little bit more delayed. I mean, I think there's three things going on here. One is an outright concern for public health, but now there's some questions about the modeling, particularly when you look at the modeling that, you know, happened in New York. But, is it really worth taking a risk of losing lives but not following the modeling? The second is people really need to get back to work. When you take a look at, you know, the number, and everybody knows this, the number of claims for unemployment and what all that means. And, you know, Janet Yellen, despite what you may think of her, you know, predicting that GDP is going to drop by 30%. That has to spook anybody. And I also think here, unique to Colorado, since our legislative session is going to come back, probably around sometime in mid-May, there's some, not controversy, but conversations and some disagreement about how much are they going to consider. Is it just going to be COVID-related, the budget, school finance, or are we going to kind of return to regular Heroin legislative
sites.
Action and try
Heroin
to push
sites for all.
Well, there's not going to be any money, though, right? I mean, if you're a lobbyist,
zero. They're at least, I'd probably say $3 billion in the hole.
Right. And so that's kind of what they do there.
It may get backfilled by the government if they get their way. But...
Yeah.
Let me jump back to the presidential race. I just am curious what you think about, because I know earlier, much earlier on our show, you have said way back at the beginning when they had 8 million Democrat candidates, you said you weren't sure that the person would be the ultimate candidate was even on the stage. Your thoughts on Andrew Cuomo?
I wish he would have run. The thing is that anybody that's worked around him knows he's really, really difficult and isn't particularly exciting. And, you know, this has been a moment for him. But anyone who thinks that, you know, Andrew Cuomo all of a sudden is going to be this dark horse candidate that's going to come up in the convention, you're in Colorado because pot shops are still high and you're getting So I don't see that happening. I do see, you know, Cuomo having more of a role in Democratic politics because of this.
Okay.
And he could end up the nominee if Joe Biden died. I mean, I'd hate to even suggest that, but.
Right.
Well, how about, who do you like for a VP candidate? It's got to be a woman.
Oh, wow.
Preferably.
Well, first of all,
Stacey Abrams. You got a transgender out there they could throw in and really kind of make it go?
Oh, Chuck, I got to love you.
He's rolling his eyes again.
You may notice he's rolling his eyes.
No, but that's okay. I mean, you say it in a loving way.
Yes, I do.
You know, Stacey Abrams is great. I just think it's too soon for her. I mean, I think there's a lot more hype around her, and she's a friend, but I just think it's too soon.
Okay.
I could see a Kamala Harris, you know, I mean, I think that's what Washington Post, I think they put her as, you know, a number one pick.
Ooh,
right.
You know, I still think you could see an Amy Klobuchar because, you know, she's such a fighter.
Yeah.
If I have a problem, like, how do they deal with the left? You know, they could try to deal with the left with Warren. The challenge with Warren is she didn't just didn't prove her chops.
Right.
You know, on the campaign trail. It just didn't.
Plus,
you know,
she doesn't,
it doesn't matter how many selfie lines you do.
Right.
Yeah.
And in this environment, she's not going to be doing any selfie lines.
No. And I wouldn't trust her. If I were Joe Biden, you know, I mean, she could push you down the
either
stairs.
Either her or Hillary, you know, you need a food tester. I mean, you just go, okay.
Well, how does this talk to us a little
bit. So is who's your favorite candidate among those? Would it be Kamala Harris or?
Probably Kamala Harris, yeah.
Okay.
But because you've gone up and down, you didn't like her. Then
I know, I've been all over, didn't I like her, and then I didn't like her. But the thing about the thing to remember about vice president is it's not a question of what advantage do they bring.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question of how much damage can they do and what's the likelihood of that. And if it's really low, then it's somebody you may want to consider. I don't buy this. You have to have somebody to get a particular region. This isn't like a JFK, LBJ.
Right.
The environment's different. Now, there's a spin you need to make. Oh, the reason why we picked this person is because of that, because media needs something to talk about.
Right.
And God knows they need something to talk about now, because we hear COVID stuff one more time.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all spin, whether you're watching MSNBC, watching CNN, watching Fox.
It is all spin. And in the meantime, yeah, the rest of us are like, can we just go back to work? Well, what about in terms of then Joe Biden? So it seems like he's a guy.
He's still technically alive.
I kind of think.
And he's got something, on occasions, the synapses work. So that's for a Democratic candidate.
Hey,
What more do you want?
Bernie Sanders has more time to play canasta with them.
That's right. What about the Bernie Sanders supporters? I mean, Bernie endorses them. Do you think, I mean, do you guys as a Democrat, any concern about that? That whole group of people is going to be
Bernie
like,
Bros.
I think we have to be really concerned, but I think in the COVID environment, I think it's different. It's really hard to all of a sudden do this. We're going to beat the, you know, left wing drums. And is this really the person we need? He really doesn't match up to politics for us.
Yeah.
I think this unique pandemic environment, you know, in a comorbid way is a united for all of us.
Yes, I think so. I think your average person out there, I think you're absolutely right. The average person out there, I think particularly now, does not like the partisan stuff.
We're talking with Ted Trimpa. He's a Democratic strategist. We call him the Sword of Soros. He's an advisor to government.
Again.
He's rolling his eyes again, but he knows it's true, at least he's Soros Jr. getting a... every time we have you on, everybody kind of goes,
it's
you
like
know,
ask a Democrat.
You know, he doesn't sound totally insane. What's wrong?
Yeah, hey, believe it or not. See, look around. There are no horns in the house. No horns.
Yeah. Although a lot of our friends are convinced that you're a secret Republican, and we just need to, like, I don't know what, take you on a retreat or something like that, and you can channel your inner.
Don't say that for him. He's got plenty of Democratic friends. So if they say that, you know, they're going to go, wait a minute. Maybe that's right.
Yeah, I have two words for you. Good luck.
Yeah, there we go. What about then going forward? I mean, who knows whether we're going to be able to have rallies again? You've done this kind of stuff. What do you hope and think that maybe things will get back to normal, more normal, quicker than we think? Or what do you do if you're trying to win the presidency right now and you're not the president?
Well, one, I don't think it's ever going to be the normal that we're used to.
Okay.
Two, I don't think anyone really knows what the nature of campaigning is going to be.
Right.
Three, there's a movement afoot, and it's one that I don't like, and that is mobile voting. So you essentially, there's technology now, they claim that you can vote from your phone. I'm less worried about, you know, harvesting and more worried about hacking.
Right.
And, you know, because there's, I mean, we now have hard proof about you can hack, you know, electronic voting machines. Now, whether or not who did the hacking, I don't want to get into that argument.
But right. But cell phones, I mean,
should worry
knows.
People. And then how do you campaign? You know, you have a rally and you broadcast it on a big screen. You have, you know, a rally of 10 people, all 6 feet apart.
I think it's gonna be
really tough. It's hard for me to imagine an environment where we're not going to have some form of physical distancing. And by the way, I don't know, why is it called social distancing?
It's like tissue harvesting.
It's not really killing children, you know. It's tissue harvesting. That's why.
You know, but we did.
We're going to have a competition, Chuck, and that is I'm going to bring up random topics and random words, and you're going to get 10 seconds to link it to Planned Parenthood.
Not hard. Not hard.
Not hard. Everything we could do that there. You know, but the social distancing thing is kind of goofy. Because I was at the liquor store earlier today before the show, and it was like there's this massive line. And at first I was like, oh my god, it's going to take forever, but it didn't. But there's like one line. Everybody was 6 feet apart. I don't know how long that lasts, but you know what? People were there. It moved fast, and I think. You're right.
We were listening to the Rosh and I were listening to the Hancock press conference when they first announced the shelter at home, and when it was originally announced, it included alcohol and adult use recreational is not being included. And before the press conference was over, I looked at Rosh and I'm like, "We're going to Argonaut." And even by the time we got there, there was a line.
Right.
You know, by the time we got out, the line was in front of his
office telling you, you're not closing down the liquor stores, buddy.
That's the Robinson family, I'm sure.
Well, you know, how do you have any insights on that? There was the Denver Post did a story. It was kind of interesting. And they were talking to Doug Friednash and other people, and maybe Doug Friednash was in a different column from Brownstein Law Firm, but they were talking about how, yeah, the mayor initially said, no, liquor stores are not essential.
Because
the city attorney said this, and his phone is going off, all these liquor store lobbyists. And then
he just pushed the city attorney away, kind of going, get out of here. I don't care what you think.
But the liquor store lobbyists are saying stuff like, I directly texted Hancock and Alan Salazar, the chief of staff. And then lo and behold, it was lifted. Any light you can shed on how did they decide? Do you know what was determined to be essential and what wasn't?
Oh,
well, I mean, I'm how can, as a sort
well,
of
well, I mean, part impossible. Of it, I could hear somebody making the argument on liquor stores and marijuana stores, you know, particularly adult use, is there's going to be a lot of traffic, and you know, how do you control what that traffic is going to be?
Right.
So they should be included as part of it's a non-essential business, so therefore they should be closed. It's clear as day. Anyone who says that it wasn't business interests and lobbyists that influenced the mayor, them to put alcohol and adult use marijuana, you know, into the essential business category, then, you know,
right.
The old saying, I have a bridge to sell you. What I find fascinating.
Oh, hey, the liquor lobby got a hold of them.
Oh, Ted, the liquor lobby shut you down there. Ted, if you
No, it's all right. I actually got a phone call, which cut me off. I got to figure out how to shut that off in the future.
Okay.
Where was I?
Oh, we were talking about how the liquor lobbyist just called you.
What's interesting is vape stores aren't considered the same as marijuana, adult use, recreational, and liquor stores, which I find fascinating.
Right.
When a lot of adults who vape, the reason why they're vaping is so they don't have to smoke. You know, it's their way of getting nicotine without having it combustible. And there's such a stigma with vape because of youth vaping. But, you know, the stores we're talking about are age restricted. You know, there are all kinds of things you can do. But it just comes down to who the business interests are and who the business lobbyists are.
Bluntly. Yeah. Well, and will that, how do you see that playing out in terms of reopening then? Because I got to imagine Republican, Democrat, red, blue, if you're a business owner right now, you want to open. And you want to open as much as possible, as soon as possible, as safely as possible. I mean, is Polis's office hearing from those people?
I'm sure they are. But I still think Jared is going to continue to, understandably and from my perspective, rightfully, lean very heavily on the public health side. You know, let's really get a clear indication that, you know, that we have flattened the curve, that we're on a down before we start opening this back up. Because I just think once we start opening it back up, it's going to happen faster because people are going to want it to happen faster.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think it's going to be really difficult to calibrate.
Okay. Yeah. What about leading into the future then? Do you see, here's my concern, is that every time that we have a flu thing, people are going to say, oh, we have to do this again. Do you, and then on the other hand, I think American people, and I'm being optimistic here, but are pretty smart, I think, when left alone.
Not going to be left alone. The media hyped this to an extreme degree and got everyone terrified. If they want to do the same thing with the average flu season, they could. There are 20,000 to 60,000 people who die every year of just regular flu. And so if they want to keep on hyping it, why they want to hype it, I'm not sure. I'm not,
because they haven't been hit yet. But what?
Well, no, they haven't hit. Look, go look at the Denver Post. See what's left of that. There's nothing left.
It's like four ads.
And all of them are paid by the city and county of Denver. It's amazing stuff.
Well, we just have a fundamental disagreement about comparing flu with COVID. Because I think
what's the difference?
Very different. COVID's so much more contagious.
Well, yes.
And it's only contagious because we've never had it before. And therefore,
the mortality
don't
rate
have
is
immunity.
So much higher.
The
mortality rate is so much higher.
No, it is not. It's the same.
Oh, that's
They've
ridiculous.
Just done in California. They just said, oh my gosh, we've got so many more cases of people who are asymmetric, but lots of people, they're thinking it's down asymptomatic.
Okay, so how many school students die from flu every year?
Don't know.
Not that many. There were 77 million school kids in the country today. And with a 2% morbidity rate, we say, oh, fine, let's just put them all back to school.
No, but the kids
but they're not dying.
The kids
lose. Yeah.
It's all people like you and me and Julie. We're dying. It's over all the people that are above 55 who are dying.
There are
a double digit more in like the 20s, low 30s of people with COVID that are 18 to 35.
Watch your stats. Yeah. I've done research on that. What they're doing is because there's so few of them, they're lumping the 18 to 35 year olds into the under 50.
Right.
So you got to watch your stats. No. And that depends on which stat you look at and which day. Yeah. But my question is beyond the COVID thing. I guess I'm just seeing how you, because you know you have some inside tracks and you understand politics and things. How big of a difference or how different of a world are we going to be having going forward? Or do you think it's going to...
No one knows.
Well, I know. I'm asking him what he thinks.
Well, he says he doesn't know.
This idea, you know, when the president was rolling out the three phases were, and I'm not being overly critical of it. I just don't remember all of them and how they're supposed to play out. But when you start talking about, you're going to social distance at work and you're going to have different, you know, shifts of people, different shifts for whenever you take lunch. I just think about my own personal experience in working with law firms.
Right.
And, you know, you're going to tell them that that's what they should do. But once they get inside closed doors, they're going to laugh about it and be like, we should be 6 feet away. They're still going to be walking down the hallways.
Right.
Well, they say that for the press conferences. Some guy went and was reporting. He said, it's amazing, you know, because they have a scrum outside of the room because only a few can go in. How few social distance, how few had masks. How few actually obeyed any of the rules that they think are great, you know, but they weren't paying much attention to them.
I noticed when I was watching this setup for the press conference, the only people that were wearing the mask were the IV guys or whatever it's called with the sound, the podiums and getting the chairs. And I'm like, these are the postal workers we really need to make sure don't catch us and die.
I thought the same thing too. It's like, so you do have Trump, Fauci, Burks, none of the reporters. I'm like, and I know why, because it looks bad and it smears your makeup. But
I have to tell you, I'm sure scarf sales have gone up though. You know,
I tried to order some gaiters, right? The ski gaiters, all out of stock.
Well, let's try to take one call because people love to talk to Ted. Let's go to Jacob from Denver. Jacob, are you there on line two?
Hey, good afternoon.
I'm trying. Hello?
Hi there. Hey, Jacob, we can hear
you.
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I
can hear you. Yeah, okay. So I just wanted to make a little gentleman's bet with Chuck. That by July of, July 1st, when the new budget goes in, that the POLUS will lift all the restrictions on fracking, because he's going to need every penny of that royalty money.
Yeah. I'll bet you a lunch that he doesn't. I bet you a lot. It makes sense. What you're saying makes total sense. But I'll bet you anything he doesn't. And we'll ask Ted. Yeah. He can get on the bet too.
All right.
Ted, do you think that...
I'm with Chuck.
I'll tell you why, because when this is all said and done, I don't think downtown Denver is going to be half empty, because these people have decided, you know what, if I could work from home, I'm going to work from home. And there goes all your use taxes, and there goes all your property taxes, and there goes all your fuel taxes for driving your car back and forth. It's all gone.
All of what you said is true, but he's a believer. I promise you, unlike Hickenlooper, Polis is a believer, and he'll never give up that group that believe that global warming is going to end the world. So that'd be my, but Jacob, we'll call in July, and we'll see if we have restaurants.
Let me finish with one thing, because you said about the if the Democrats ever take over and they declare a national emergency on climate change, we're going to be right back where we are right now.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Good point.
There will never be an opening.
Thanks, Jacob.
All right,
thanks
then we can go to lunch. Yeah. Well, Ted, let me ask you just a couple more questions here, because we've got Vicky Tonkin calling in and a whole other topic. What about the – I mean, you've had to deal with budgets. You had to, you know, lobby for things back and forth. I mean, I'm assuming that one of the ways Jared Polis and some Democrats will want to save things is by getting rid of Tabor. But where do you see, I mean, budget-wise, economy-wise in Colorado, what do you see?
Well, one, let's start with Tabor. Any thought that the electorate is going to just outright overturn Tabor, or the electorate outright is going to adopt a progressive income tax, you're just high. Let's just waste more money again, yet trying to do such a large tinker with Tabor. I think with the budget, I think priority one is trying to make sure that they don't furlough state employees.
Okay. After Planned Parenthood. I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, it's a real concern.
Killing babies first.
No, we digress.
See, Planned Parenthood, I swear to God, Chuck, I'm so good at this.
Killing babies always comes first.
No, I think you're right.
Tie donuts to Planned Parenthood.
So I think you're right. Okay, so first thing is to not have to furlough state employees.
Which is sad, because it's too bad, because even in my business, these are difficult times. You have to let people go, and it makes you stronger in the end. And one of the reasons why state government, especially in Colorado, is such a inefficient, poor one, is there's never a culling. There's never, okay, who are our best employees? Let's keep them. And it's a little sad, but I think you're
absolutely
right.
A lot of that's a personnel role.
Yeah, that's true.
Let me go, Ted. We'll get a final word, because then we got to go to Vicky. But we got Barney, who I know wants, every time I say we're going to let go, he's like, no, I want to talk to Ted. Hey, Barney, thank you for calling in. Happy Friday.
Hey, Barney.
Hello, Chuck. Hello, Julie. Hello, Ted. I was going to be nice to you, Ted. Hey, Ted, you should be old enough. Do you remember Pat Polson?
Yeah.
Pat Polson ran for president. Why don't you guys get him out from the grave and probably going to have a better job with him than you are Biden. I'm pretty sure he's dead. But let me help Jake that just called about fracking.
Jacob. It was Jacob.
No, Jacob, it ain't going to happen. The Saudis have finally figured out how to break the back of the frackers. And by the way, there is no sympathy for me with gas and oil. Gas, right? Let me help you out with this. You guys aren't going to like this, but the rack price at Suncor is 18 effing cents a gallon. So plus 42 cents in tax in Colorado, that is. You guys are paying out the butt for your gasoline. Now, personally, I think it's kind of funny that oil companies get to whine and cry and do whatever the hell they do. But no, Jacob, it's not coming back, because I think the Saudis have finally figured out how to break the backs of the frackers, and it's going to happen, and we're going to get cheap-ass oil from Saudi Arabia, who I can't stand. Don't like them either, but fact is, it ain't going anywhere. Polis ain't lifting anything.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Barney. Appreciate it.
I'm surprised that Persian hasn't killed you yet. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you. Hey. Ted, we appreciate you being on. You're always a joy.
Always happy to.
Always a joy.
And we look forward to quarantine cuisine when we're on quarantine.
Actually, there's more coming on tonight. I've been saving up some photos. So
okay.
Don't want to miss it. Don't want to miss it.
Macarons are next.
All right.
Ted, thank you very much.
I love macarons.
Appreciate it. All right. Thank you, Ted. Say hey to Arash.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's Ted Trimp in there. Follow him at Ted Trimp if you want to watch his, like,
it's great stuff.
It's really pretty good.
All right. Now we got a very important guest, and it's Vicky Tonkins. She's the GOP chair for El Paso County. She's a grassroots person and been fighting the great fight, and we're really proud to have her on. So, Vicky, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation. I appreciate it.
So, Vicki, you've been under fire
by all the usual suspects.
By the usual suspects for simply raising the question about, you know, why are these COVID models changing constantly? And all of a sudden, you have to leave the state, get deep to a nunnery, and that's
or even asking a question: is this a type of psyops? And just asking the question,
is
according to Jeff Hayes, beyond the pale. And we must get back to burning states.
So let me first off kind of get let you explain to folks when you know what was your question? What was your intent when you raised this whole issue? Which, by the way, we agree with you on.
Well, you know, I have a real battle down here in El Paso County when it comes to the word intent. Intent only is available for the establishment. But anyway, the reason I had posed the question, it was posed to me.
Right.
And I looked at what the definition was, and I thought, the government is overreaching.
Yeah.
The government has shut down businesses that are necessary here in El Paso County. I'm looking at people who are suffering, friends who have said, I have no idea how I'm going to put food on my table, how I'm going to pay my mortgage. And so I saw it as there's yes, I never stated that this virus is a hoax.
No, you didn't. I looked through all of it. But they just transferred it. They said, well, psyops, that's a little obscure. So we call that hoax, right? And that's not what you said. That's not what even the question you raised. What you said. Yeah.
Right. I never said it was a hoax. It is real. I have family members who are dealing with this. This is touching almost every single one of us in this nation. But the problem that I was struggling with, we have closed down our offices, so all of us are working from home. So the struggle I was having is, I know that where I make my money, I don't make my money at the GOP. We're all
volunteers. Right.
But where I have my income source has been cut by more than half.
Wow.
And I thought, I am being affected by this.
Right.
My friends, my closer friends are being affected by this as we discuss it. Who else out there is being affected by this?
Right.
And so I posed the question to get that conversation going because this was my plan. My plan has been to help those who are struggling.
Yeah.
And I just launched that out this week. Asking for people here in El Paso County, how can you help? And I said, if you are struggling, if you cannot put food on your table, let me know. I will keep it private, but we will help you. And so immediately I started getting calls. Immediately.
Right. Well, and here's the thing I have too, is what we had was a bunch of elitist bureaucrats based on models that we all know were not just wrong, but were completely wrong, making decisions that affect the rest of us. What's wrong within this country raising the question saying, hey, wait a minute, this is America, right? We don't have, you know, tri-county health commissioners who we don't even know who they are ruining our lives. And yet we're not even supposed to ask any questions about that. But Vicki, here's my question to you. I got to think that because the establishment Republicans don't like you. They don't like people who raise questions. They don't like people who don't just
or independent.
Right. And
well, let's go back. I mean, the El Paso County has been controlled by a cabal for God knows how long. Jeff Hayes was an El Paso County chair before he became chair for the state party. There's a huge fight in the fall. Tamara Farrar won. They attacked her. They went after her. Everything in the world. And Tamara's just the nicest of nice people. She finally said, I've had it. I'm out of here. She got up. You picked up the gauntlet bravely and fought it out with them. They ran a crooked election. And then that got appealed to the Central Committee. And it ordered a new election, which you won. This time it was fair and you won. And they're whatever you say,
The sky is blue.
Yeah, the Jeff Hayes, the Eli Bremers, the Duncan Bremers, and you know behind them it's Anschutz and it's Coors and all that, and both ways Bob, where he can steal a penny. But when they all call for your resignation, it's a plea saying, okay, we didn't win the election. We lost the election, so we're not going to give up. We're just going to endlessly attack people. And I read Jeff Hayes' letter concerning you, and I thought that was just slanderous and revolting.
I mean, out of line.
Out of line. He did the same thing to Susan Beckman. I mean, he's just a dirt monster, right, really, when it comes down to it.
And I don't understand it. You know, when I ran for office here for county commissioner, I ran against Eli Bremmer's wife. Right. I didn't know her. I had never seen her around in all the meetings that I had been a part of. So I didn't know who she was. Didn't bother me any. I knew where I stood and I knew what I was running on, and I'm just the kind of person, I'm just going to go for it.
Right.
And so, but the whole time I'm running for this, I hear Cammie saying, we're going to be civil. We're not going to attack people. Blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm all for that. I'm with that. Let's just talk about policy. Let's get this thing rolling, right? That's good. I don't think personal attacks help us at all. And guess what happened? I got personally attacked.
Oh, my God. What a shocker. Well, and here's the thing.
And then I thought, I said, let them do what they have to do. I gave my word, and I'm going to keep it.
Yeah. Right.
And well, I did.
And El Paso County,
I kept my word.
El Paso County is crucial to Republicans in Colorado, right? And to me, why is anyone wasting any time attacking you? I mean, over something as silly and as ridiculous and as made up as this.
But let me point this out. The establishment is not just El Paso County. You've got Joe Webb attacking her from Jefferson County. You got Christina Cook, who is listed on various lists as supporting Eli Bremmer, even though apparently it's illegal for chairman to support candidates. You also got Dave Williams, not of El Paso. Dave Williams of El
The representative Dave Williams, a different Dave Williams.
Yeah, a different Dave Williams. But the rules don't apply to the establishment. They don't care. They did, and we had the amazing fight, which was in
Senate District 10.
Eli Bremmer ran a crooked election, and it was just amazing. And that got overturned. Randy Corcoran represented Mr. Staver.
Stiver.
And who represented Eli Bremmer and the whole thing? Well, of course, it's Wayne Williams, another one of El Paso County, now sitting on the city council of El Paso. But I really admire, you're not going to give in to these guys, no matter how ugly they get.
Well, here's the thing that when I first decided to run, because I was the secretary, so when I decided to run for chair, I had a motive. My motive was not personal. My motive was I was sick and tired of what I'm seeing in El Paso County, and particularly in the Republican Party. It's time to clean house. It's time to get rid of the swamp. I so connect with what President Trump does. This is where some corruption is. Eli has done things that it's corrupt.
Right.
We're losing you a little bit.
We're starting to lose you.
I want to stay on.
No, we can't. We can't go on today.
No, we can't. Yes, we can. We'll ask him. Can we go on a little farther? We lost. Oh, that's too bad.
Okay. Vicki, if you can hear
us. Yeah, and we can stay on. Julie. So see if you can get her back. I mean, she called in. We want to get. I admire her so much. She's fighting against the dirtiest people. They love to attack women.
While we're waiting for Vicki to call back, on a separate note, because I wanted to bring this up too. We got a good text from Tim Neville, who said, why does the government not have Colorado Department of Public Health show numbers for patients, recovers, and are released? Here's a tricky thing that they're doing. They actually now, you can go, the hospitals are, through a hospital website, releasing the number of people in Colorado who have been hospitalized, et cetera, from the COVID-19. But when you look at that, so we know already, because Polis has told us, we have enough ventilators, we have enough masks, it's not the crisis, we flattened the curve. So what do the hospitals put in there? And they put in number of deaths anticipated or projected deaths projected this week because we don't have enough ventilators. And it was 19. Right. I'm like, we have enough ventilators.
You got more. If you don't, they got plenty in New York for you.
Number, exactly. Number number of deaths projected this week because we don't have enough masks for. So once again, where the hospitals, number of deaths projected because doctors aren't making enough money, 4 million. I mean, give me a break. The numbers are just such garbage that they're throwing around out there. So for Vicky to go ahead and say, you know, I just want to raise a question about these numbers. Only like, okay, that's if you've got Tucker. I mean, everybody in the universe is raising questions about the numbers.
But it's so great that Vicky took on the most powerful people in El Paso County with all the money in the world, backed up by Anschutz and deep in the background and everything else. And she fought them all off and beat them. And now they're mad and they're coming after her, and they get Colorado politics, owned by Anschutz, of course, to kind of go in there. Vicky, you're back.
Let me real quick, Vicky, for folks who are listening to us.
Yay.
Real quick, because if people are listening to us on the podcast, we got to say goodbye because that part is ending. But the video portion.
Oh, no.
On Zoom, is that's okay. We got people watch us on Zoom. If people are watching us live, they'll still get it. So, you know, so just go, you can maybe ask her your question and let her kind of
well, you know, you're not going to resign. They're not going to force you out. And I hope you got a lot of good allies on your board and people there in El Paso County got you elected in the first place.
Well, you know, just like we were talking about the whole corruption piece, that is one of the tactics, is to malign a person and then try to get rid of them. We have made some great strides here. People are involved that we have never gotten involved before. And for Eli to try to make something happen that did not happen is sad. And then to go and run the SD10 meeting the way he did as a delegate, I was appalled. And I did not send in the letter. The other delegate sent in the letter, and I signed it as a delegate. I did not want to speak because I had my own views. I wanted the facts to come out. The facts are out. We're letting everybody know what those facts are, and we will no longer tolerate corruption. We
good for you.
Vicky, thank you for your time.
You're good always welcome on this program. We consider you a real hero.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. And God, thank you for a busy show today. Thank you to Ted Trimpa. Thank you to Vicky. Thank you to Patrick Neville. Thank you to the guys at BBS. You can catch all of our podcasts at chuckandjulie.com. We're sponsored by coloradocitizenpress.com. Check them out about this protest on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yep. And don't forget, please subscribe to us on YouTube.
Bye, everybody. That's it. Chuck and Julie, Truth Straight Up. Be back Monday.